and welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our impacts upon it. I'm Claire Wiley, and now I have the pleasure of introducing you to, but you probably know both of these figures in our community. First, we have Luke Carton, who is the Director of Lands and Sustainability for Park City Municipal and also the co-founder of Mountain Towns 2030. Welcome, Luke.
Thank you so much.
And Anna Robertson, who is on the board of Mountain Towns 2030 as well and has been a producer for years for many of the shows and programs that we have watched along the way, and also a climate and conservation leader in our community. Thank you, Anna, for being a part of This Green Earth.
Yeah, great to be here.
Well, and Anna is a familiar voice, as is Luke on KPCW. You have heard from them before here, but we specifically want to be talking about Mountain Towns 2030 today. I know that you all talk about a lot of different topics here, but we want to concentrate on that. And this just happened in Breckenridge this past October. You had your summit, correct?
Correct, yeah. October 7th and 8th, but we've hosted multiple one of these, and the great thing about it is actually started in Park City back in 2019.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning, and by that I mean let's get those origins of how this all began. How did the birth of Mountain Towns 2030 happen?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, if you throw a party, will anyone show up? So back in 2019, we were invited by the Climate Reality Project, which is Al Gore's kind of climate conference, to come present in some of the things that were going on in Park City, and that was May of 2019. And when we came back, the mayor at the time and a couple of key community folks said, hey, you know, the community is doing a lot of amazing things. What if we focused in on what mountain communities can do? So we reached out to, our fellow communities of Aspen, Vail, Bozeman, Missoula, kind of all over the West, and said, hey, if we brought everyone together to talk about collaboration, how can we actually kind of drive this conversation forward, but also truthfully drive the action forward, right? We all know and we all understand the issues that mountain communities face with the changing climate, right? You look at the weather right now, you just think of the past five winters. We're either getting a lot of snow or not much snow. So it's just, you know, that's the reality that we operate in. So how can we actually drive things forward that have an impact our community and also lead to changes in a broader sense? So in 2019, we pulled folks together in the Santee, and we had an awesome first conference. We had about 300 attendees. We had ski resort participation. We had some amazing keynotes from both Paul Hawken, who wrote Drawdown, but also we were really blessed with having Jane Goodall come. Mm-hmm. And we opened that one up to the full community. We had both Paul and Jane share the stage, which was a kind of a first, and they're both like powerhouses. So it was pretty cool to have them help kind of set perspective, but also kind of let people feel, you know, really engaged and energized coming out of the conference.
Right. And it is important to have collaboration when we talk about solving some of the bigger issues that we are all facing. Why do you think collaboration is so important to the model that Mountain Towns 2030 put together?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like when you hear just the general discourse right now in society, it's just trying to tear that idea down. That's a bad idea. And here's why. And the collaboration on the Mountain Town side is, truthfully, it's great to be able to rip off good ideas. you know, when we start talking about, I'll use affordable housing as a really easy example. When, you know, it's a crisis that faces all mountain communities, and truthfully, even communities that are non-mountain communities. But when we start talking about having working class folks be able to afford to live in our mountain communities, energy is a major cost of that. In Summit County alone, according to Housing and Urban Development, people who live at the poverty line in Summit County spend a quarter of their take-home pay on energy, which is a pretty big impact when you start thinking about that. So if we can design super efficient, affordable housing that reduces folks' just monthly cost and also share and learn from each other. So the great thing is when you look at the Engine House project going on in here, or going on in Park City, you look at the housing projects in Breckenridge, up in Ketchum and that side of it too, we've been able to share that information, share on everything from what language should you work into your RFP to what's the premium that's paid to be able to do these things. It's less than 6% to have folks have a nominal power bill. That has very real impact. And again, that's sharing really high impact ideas across boundaries. So that way I can say, hey, you know, the town of Vail right now is a step ahead of us in a geothermal study for a heating district, right? Can we share heat between buildings and that side of it? There's great things to be able to learn, to be able to, again, drive high impact practices forward in a collaborative environment, which is really, really unique in kind of today's times.
Yeah, and what are some of the greater impacts that have been made as you collaborate and that you're seeing as a direct result of these summits and then this coordination? Because it doesn't just happen with the summit. All year round, you are working towards this. So what are some of the things that you can point to that said, you know, we have moved the needle?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually quite a long list. So everything from, you know, the nerdy side of building codes to wildfire resilience to geothermal heating districts. The goal of the Mountain Town side is to look at the large-scale climate actions. Even when we look at waste, you know, the city, we just had a great work session about driving kind of a commercial waste ordinance forward that was, you know, it was great to see HPCA there in the room and support it in that side of it. And we would go talk to an Aspen that's actually a step ahead of us of driving forward commercial composting. There's a ton of information out there that we can share and collaborate on. Even, you know, to drive it back to Park City, we have 19 Utah communities participating to make renewable electricity available to every single electric meter within city limits. Like that is the scale of this collaboration. It's not just saying, hey, we should stop using straws. This is, we should bring on hundreds of millions of dollars of investment that actually give our community a choice or de-risk our community as well. Really quick, when you look at people always are focused on the carbon footprint. And I think it's a little bit of a misnomer, but if you take the community-wide carbon footprint of gasoline, electricity, and all this other stuff, those are real dollars. So right now what we're trying to do is we're trying to shift $250 million, $250 million of spend to things that benefit our air, benefit our economy, and you know, create clean energy jobs in Utah. And that's a very, very real impact.
And when we dig a little bit further into what just happened in Breckenridge in Colorado, can you give me some key takeaways, Anna, of what maybe you learned and also what you think were overall themes that people took away?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, it was our biggest and best summit yet, I think. We had 600 people attend from 31 communities and 37 resorts. So there was just an incredible energy in the room. I think, you know, we hear a lot, as Luke said, about, you know, national program stalling, but local action is really happening. And the collective courage of this group was incredible. We had some really amazing keynote speakers. Bill McKibben, who just put out a new book called Here Comes the Sun, talked about, you know, this incredible moment that we find ourselves in, this transition to a clean energy future, which is actually happening globally and happening right before our eyes. And that was really exciting. I mean, we've reached a point where, as he described, solar energy is more like the Costco of energy as opposed to the Whole Foods of energy. So it's becoming the cheapest energy available, and it's really transforming society in a way that, for somebody like Bill McKibben, who was on the front lines of the climate fight for, you know, the last several decades, has really led you know, a huge amount of he's very excited about the progress that we're seeing. And, you know, on the renewable energy front, a lot of focus on renewable energy. We had an incredible speaker from Uruguay, who was the Secretary of Energy. I think he was sort of a surprise highlight, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely.
Just like of the whole event. Ramon Mendez-Galen, who was a scientist who came up with a plan to transform Uruguay's energy to 100%, 99% renewable energy in just a matter of a few years. And it's really amazing to see, you know, his focus on lowering energy and electricity prices. The cost of electricity dropped in half for the citizens there. They were able to gain energy independence, not be dependent on other countries around them. And in fact, now they are exporting clean energy, and they did this all through, you know, 40% wind, using biomass from agro waste and hydropower. And, you know, that has brought $6 billion of investment into their country, 50,000 jobs. I think it was just super inspiring to hear really a market-based solution to, you know, creating a healthier, more affordable country to live in. We also had a lot of young people, the Montana youth who sued the government were there. I think we all found a lot of inspiration from the youth. Even here in Park City, we have a very active youth community that is pushing forward on climate progress, that has, you know, petitioned the school board to get composting mandated all of our Park City schools, which we're doing now. So very exciting to see those younger people kind of stepping up. And we had an interesting conversation about bridging the divide across politics. You know, clean energy and climate solutions really have been embraced by both sides of the aisle. I was fortunate to lead a conversation with Heather Reams, who leads one of the largest lobbying groups in D.C., the Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions, around how we can talk about these issues and how we can make progress. And Luke and I were just talking about how Utah is really an example of that. You know, we have so many great things happening in this state that are bipartisan, whether that's saving the Great Salt Lake, tapping into geothermal, you know, innovative battery solutions. And a lot of those were showcased at the event as well.
I think it's so amazing to have this group of people coming together. And you mentioned what happened in Uruguay, and seeing that these are not just theories, that when you put them into practice, they actually are successful. And also in such a short period of time, and then bringing that here locally, what are we doing? How are we moving in those directions? And what can we take from them to progress in our own right here? And we had talked about the word hope, because we can't lose hope. And we have hope in our next generation, but we also have to have hope across the board, right? And you had said that even here in Utah, across the aisle, there are people coming together because they recognize how important this is. Can you speak to me about more of the things that are happening here locally that are bringing people together and that we are moving forward in, and how we're a leader in that space?
Yeah, I mean, definitely to tie it from the federal level all the way back down. I mean, we're really lucky to have Senator John Curtis, who's done some amazing clean energy work, and he's a Republican, right? We're in the state of Utah, and our official rock is coal. It's 100% true, but right now there is a open regulatory docket, which is just a fancy way to say we're trying to change the way our electricity grid operates. And Park City's been a leader in that. Summit County's a leader in that. Salt Lake City's a leader in that. And it's something that's just not a, hey, that's a kind of a cool thing. It's a nation-leading kind of legislative effort that back in 2019, we passed House Bill 411 with two-thirds majority in both the House and Senate. I just spoke to the environmental legislators get together in Salt Lake just a few weeks ago, and we were talking to folks from Montana, Washington, New Mexico, Arizona, that are all just saying, hey, that is an interesting way to be able to balance out the costs and benefits and provide some competition in a utility market, which is still usually very regulated and kind of, you know, follows a monopoly kind of style. Our response is, let's bring some competition, let's bring some clean energy, let's bring some choice into that. When you bring it even to the next level down, the city government and our two ski resort partners are all powered by renewable electricity, as is Summit County government. We went out and procured, it's called the Electron Solar Project. If people want it, you can literally pull it up on Google Maps, spell Electron with a K, E-L-E-K-T-R-O-N. And that's an 80-megawatt solar farm that was built that is a direct result of the community coming together, you know, Summit County government, Park City government, the two ski resort partners, which, again, are, you know, they're major competitors, to bring them all together. And that's created some very stable tax base in Tooele County. Like, you can actually pull the numbers. It's given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the school district. So it's not just like a kind of a crazy idea. It's a proof in concept. From everything where we're looking at the wayside, you've got the community foundation stepping up and driving, you know, free residential composting pickups. We've got the schools, kids stepping up to, like, help feed their friends and compost as well. There are, it's, you know, again, people get downtrodden with the bad news, but there is a lot of great things going on here, because the great thing is people take pride in what we do, and they take the responsibility of what we need to do.
And the pace of change is happening. Technology is changing right. So quickly. So we showcased some of those most innovative technologies, like Taurus. It's creating an incredible battery technology, and Fervo in Southern Utah, that's building a huge geothermal plant using a lot of the same skill sets that were used in the fossil fuel industry, but applying it into a different area. I mean, Utah is the only state that's allowing balcony solar, which is super exciting, a really accessible way for people to power some of their own renewable energy just by plugging solar into their cable. So there's a lot happening here. And, you know, we want people to hear that there is progress being made, and that this kind of organization is really helping to connect the dots and provide real tangible, practical solutions. And, you know, we came away with a letter, 37 elected leaders across the mountain town signed a letter pledging to reduce emissions and transition to clean energy and protect the environment. And so that's a really powerful statement, and something that we're going to continue into next year, is bringing that to Washington and really using that collective courage and power to drive local progress.
And how do people engage? How do individuals get involved in Mountain Towns 2030? What would you suggest?
If people want to learn more, I mean, you can actually just go on YouTube and type in Mountain Towns 2030. Almost every single session is posted. If it's not, it'll be posted soon, of all of the different discussions that went on, from, you know, cleaning up your financing to leadership strategies to, you know, wildfire resilience to all these other things. Those are 100% free for folks to go kind of peruse and take in and understand. And the other thing too is, truthfully, just get engaged. The great thing about living in Park City is there's a lot of folks rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And there's always more help that can be had, but also there's a lot of inspiration that's going on, both at the government level, the nonprofit level, the business level. There's a lot of interesting ways to kind of scratch that itch to get engaged. But if folks want to understand of like, hey, what are other communities doing? All the Mountain Town stuff is free and up on YouTube currently.
And a huge thank you to those who have supported our organization for many years and continue to do so. Think about adding Mountain Towns 2030 when you're thinking about where to donate your money if you care about this issue. The Cummings family, the Shurkin family, they've really been out front on supporting us in these efforts. And so we really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and the website, if people want to go on the website and kind of peruse around and learn more.
Yeah, it's just mt2030.org. The 2026 is going to be out in up in beautiful Sun Valley, but you can also just dig around on there. You can see the Breckenridge agenda, and like I said, almost everything was recorded and it's being released for free.
Well, thank you so much to Luke Carton, who is the Director of Lands and Sustainability at Park City Municipal and the co-founder of Mountain Towns 2030, and Anna Robertson, who is on the board of Mountain Towns 2030 and also very engaged in climate actions here in our community. We appreciate both of you for being here on This Green Earth. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.